Hi, and welcome to the Shoot From The Heart podcast with me, Diane Bell. If you want to write a script, make a movie, or quite simply live an abundant and creatively fulfilled life, you are in the right place. Each week, I'll share with you tips, techniques, and real-world information that will inspire and empower you on your path. Thank you so much for joining me. I am rooting for you all the way. Let's do this. Hello, beautiful and amazing screenwriters, filmmakers, and creative souls. How are you today? I hope you are well. Today we are going to be talking about how to protect your work, which is such an important topic. I think I receive an email every week, and it seems like whenever I do one of these lives, someone pops in to ask the question at the end, how do I protect my work? How do I make sure no one steals it? What do I do? I'm scared. And so I thought it'd be really worth recording a podcast on this subject. And it is a big topic. It's not just a simple topic. There is the practical stuff, which is simple, but then there's other stuff. So I really want to dive into it all with you. Okay, so let's get into today's subject for the podcast, how to protect your work. So many screenwriters, this is an area of real fear for them. And I know it was for me when I started out. I can definitely remember feeling with my first script very, very afraid that someone might steal it. And I wasn't really sure how to navigate that. So what I want to offer you today is some information so that you can navigate it with confidence and you don't feel afraid. Because what I see a lot is the screenwriters who are starting out, that fear actually really hinders them because they don't want to share their work. They're sort of like locking it down, even though they're in a period of their career where they should just be putting it out. They're holding it close to their chest like, oh my gosh, but if I give this to somebody, they might steal it. And this is my best work. And what would I do if someone steals it? And it's really not a space that you want to be in. It's a very stressful space to be in. And you're not going to have success if that is your energy as you're putting your script out into the world. So just on the pragmatics, when you finish your screenplay, the first thing to know is you automatically own the copyright to it. This is intellectual property. Anything that you create, you own. You don't actually have to do anything to say that you own it. It's yours, period. The reason that we want to have a copyright, though, or some sort of legal document, is just in case somebody does create something that's identical and you had shown them your work, and you want to be able to prove that you had your thing. Now, in the old days when I was starting out, a very popular way of doing this was create a hard copy of your script. So print up a script and then put it in an envelope and send it to yourself. I don't know if anyone heard of this method. I think they call it the poor man's copyright or something. And so basically the idea is when it arrives in the post, you do not open it. And then if anybody ever did copy your screenplay, you can take this to the court and say, look at the post date. This was sent on this date, and open it up and there's your script inside and prove it. It's quite dramatic. I quite like that method of copywriting, but I don't think it's necessary or recommendable today. Today, what I recommend is when you finish your screenplay and you're happy with it, you get a copyright for a legal copyright, and you get that from the Library of Congress. So if you go to the internet, thelibraryofcongress.gov, you'll find a banner, a heading under a menu there, copyright. Click there and it will walk you through it. It's pretty simple. I think the price for it is about $50. So it's not very expensive. And for that, you have a proper legal copyright. That is the only way to copyright your material and have a totally binding legal copyright in America. And I think it is valid throughout the world. There's all these different countries that are signatories to it. So if you register it there and get your copyright, it's basically covered in most places in the world. Now, as I said, you don't have to do that. Technically, you own the copyright. But once you do that, I just feel like you have a peace of mind. You've got the copyright. So that's the way to get a legal copyright. It may be the case that in other countries, I mean, obviously in other countries, there'll be other equivalents of the Library of Congress. I just know that because that's the one that I've always dealt with. Once you have that, you can feel safe because even though you have your copyright, this is a way that it's completely registered. It feels empowered to me. It's also just something to celebrate when you get your little certificate saying that you're copyrighted. Now, obviously, the other thing that you can, and I do, is register it with the WGA, the Writers Guild of America. There's both an East Coast and West Coast branch. I've always done it with West because I was moving to Los Angeles, and so it just made sense. I don't know if there's much difference between the two, to be honest. I think some people say the East is better because you get 10 years instead of 5. Don't quote me on that. But I would say WGA, I would do it as well. I think WGA registration is like $20. For that, you can also register a treatment or a synopsis, which is pretty nice if you are putting a treatment out and about and you feel like you want to protect that. And you can also register multiple drafts, so show different drafts at different times, which is also a great feature. Now, the WGA registration is not a legal copyright, okay? So it's not a legal thing. What it is just a way to prove that your script looked a certain way at a certain time. So if there was ever any argument about that, if you were saying, this person saw my script and this is what it was, and they have copied it, you're able to say in a foolproof way, that's what the script was at that time. You can read it yourself and see that it's identical to what they made. So it's just a really nice way to have that backup. I think for the price, why wouldn't you? And then also that feeling again of just celebrating when you get your certificate saying WGA and you get your WGA number and you feel like I am on the path to getting my screenplay done and out there. It feels good. Now, when I started out, I always put the WGA number on the front of the script. At the time, everybody said that's what you should do because it shows anybody who's going to read it that you have protected it, that you know about this and that you have protected it, and so it'll make them less likely to steal it. And that felt good to me, and I've always done that. Nowadays, I hear rumors of people saying, don't put the WGA number on the front because it will look unprofessional and someone will look at your script and they'll think, well, this person is an amateur, obviously, because they have a WGA number on the front of it. My own take on that, and this is my own take on so many things about screenwriting, is for heaven's sakes, if somebody passed on your script because there was a WGA number on the front, they're idiots and they don't deserve your script. Basically, in a nutshell. I mean, think about it for a second. Oh, I'm not going to read the script because of a WGA number on the front of it. What kind of person is that? Who are these people you're dealing with? I mean, surely they already know who you are somewhat, otherwise they wouldn't be reading the script. And if they got to the end of the script and said, well, great script, amazing characters, what a plot, all the things, but a WGA number on the front, clearly amateurville. It's crazy. It's just crazy. So I would not worry about this either way. Put it on the front if it feels good to you. Don't put it on the front if it doesn't feel good to you. Do what you want. I would not worry about it. The point anyway is not about what they can see. The point is for you knowing that you can prove your script existed in a certain form on a certain date. That's what this is about. It's about nothing else. Now let's talk about the actual risks and really what goes on and is your script likely to be stolen? Because I think this is a really interesting and rich conversation to have. And I think it's one, as I said, that a lot of newer screenwriters really have a lot of fear around. So I just want to dispel the fear about this. The fact is, very few scripts are stolen. Not many people, not many producers, legitimate producers are sitting there, they read your script, they think, well, I really like the idea, but I don't really like the way it's executed, and I'm not really sure about that writer. So you know what? I'm going to pay someone else to write this, and I'm going to steal the idea and do my own version. Think about that for a minute. Think about it. And I'm going to risk being sued at the end of all this because, you know, why wouldn't I? It's insanity. Any legitimate producer is not going to do that. Now, if you think of it from a producer's point of view, if you've done your research and you're reaching out to producers who really are in the ballpark for your script, so say you have written a vampire movie that is predominantly set around a burger restaurant, right? And the owner of the burger restaurant is the vampire, for instance. And you've written this one and you think it's absolutely brilliant and you love it and you've done your research and you find 10 producers that you think are the kind of producers that would do this and you hone in and one of them says, I would love to read this, and he or she is the kind of producer who makes this kind of movie. That's exciting. They read it, they pass on it. And then a year later you hear they're making a movie about a vampire who owns a burger restaurant. And you're like, what? They didn't buy my script. They stole my idea. I can't believe it. I should never have trusted them. Now, just for a minute, I want you to consider this. I personally believe that in this world, if one person has an idea, someone somewhere else is having the same idea. It is said when it comes to storytelling that there are only 7 basic plots, that there's no more than that. It is possible that you're the producer, saw your script and was like, oh, I'm going to copy this. I'm going to pay someone else to write this script, even though it'd be so much cheaper for me just to pay that writer for it and then pay another writer to rewrite it and not risk being sued. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. So it is possible that that's happened, but it's also possible that somebody else had the same idea as you, totally unbeknownst to you. Totally, maybe on the other side of the world, they had the same idea and they wrote a script that was very similar. And because they knew this producer was the kind of producer who liked this kind of script, they also took it to that producer. And this producer went, hey, this is great. For some reason, they read your script and they didn't respond to it. It just didn't fit for them. But this one they read and it did make sense for them. It is possible. Do you see that? So most producers, you'd probably be aware of this, when you ask a producer to read your script and the producer actually agrees, most legitimate producers will get you to sign a document in which you acknowledge that they could be developing a script that is similar or might develop a script that is similar in the future and that you will not sue them for it. And if you think of it from their perspective, this is completely understandable. Because if their thing is making a certain kind of horror film, for instance, it's highly likely that more than once they're going to read something that's in the same ballpark. And it doesn't mean the writers stole from each other, and it doesn't mean they're stealing from you. It just means something else exists in the world which is very similar. I think as artists, we have to accept the fact that it's very, very rare to have a completely original idea. Almost all our ideas have been had before. And really what we have to offer that is unique and special with our projects is our voice and our execution of it. So sure, there's millions of love stories, but the way that you spin it is going to be completely unique. That's going to be your hallmark. That's going to be your DNA. And that's what's going to excite a producer. It's very rare that it's actually the plot that is the thing that excites the producer. It's the execution. It's the original spin that you put on that idea. So your vampire movie with the burger bar, it's how you tell that story and what you give to it that's so unique that will make it special. It's not actually the fact that it's a vampire in a burger bar. It doesn't matter. As I said, I feel very strongly that when one person has an idea, someone else has it too. It's like the collective subconscious at work. I've said this many times to my screenwriters. I have the feeling when I'm writing a screenplay that I'm not actually creating something new, but I'm uncovering something that already exists. It feels to me more like a work of archaeology than of creation. It's like I'm digging for something and it already is there. And my job is to reveal it, to let it out. I feel like the stories that we tell somehow choose us. We don't necessarily choose the story. Something comes to you, some idea, and I feel like as screenwriters, our job is just to become that clear channel. Somehow the story has come to you to be birthed into the world, and your job is to become that channel to let it come into the world. And I do feel like if you don't do it, somebody else will. On the same note, quite often, somebody else has also been tapped by that story, and they're also telling it. How many times in Hollywood have you seen that, where two films get made at the same time? They have the same source materials, based on the same true story, based on the same idea. And neither one is copying from the other. Neither was plagiarizing. It just happens that two writers are developing this thing at the same time. Two production companies go for it at the same time. They don't even know about it until that point at which they're about to release the movie. And they're suddenly like, oh, somebody else has made a movie about this. It happens all the time. And it's honestly, it's not because of people plagiarizing or people copying. It's quite simply, this idea has its time. It's time for this idea to come out into the world, and it tapped a few people's shoulders. And I think if we set that as our understanding of this, the collective subconscious can supply us with infinite stories. There are no end to the stories that can come through us. We will not dry up from stories. The idea that somehow us as screenwriters, like I've written this screenplay and I'm really scared that someone's going to steal this one because it's so special and it's so good and I don't want anyone to steal it because also I'm afraid that I will never have another idea as good. Let's be honest, that's part of the fear of somebody stealing the thing. When you step into the abundance of ideas, the feeling that there's no end to them. Sure, this is a great idea that I've had and I've put tons of work into the script and it means a lot to me and it's important and it matters. But I'm also not afraid because there's so many more. It's one of many that are going to flow through me. And I have nothing to fear as well because the vast majority of people in our industry, just like any other industry, I have no interest in stealing your work. Most people are good. I 100% believe that. Most people are good, even in Hollywood, which might freak some people out. No, the people in Hollywood are really horrible. They all want to steal your work. It's not true. They really don't. Everybody is looking for good work. And again, if you think of it from the point of view of producers, and that's really who you're worried about stealing your work, because there's no real reason to be showing your work to other writers. And the truth is, other writers, real writers, have no desire to steal your work because every writer I know has more ideas than they can possibly have time to write. That's the nature of writing. That's the nature of the abundance of ideas. Once you are tapped into the source of ideas, there's no shortage of ideas. So somebody telling me their brilliant idea, like, I'm writing a screenplay about this and it's so great and I'm so scared someone's going to steal it and I hope you're not going to steal it. of course I'm not going to steal it. It's not my story. I have not been tapped on the shoulder by that story. It's your story to tell. I got my own stories. I got plenty of them. It's sort of like, look at my kid. My kid's so cute. Don't try to steal my kid. My kid is the cutest kid. I got my own kids. I got my hands full. I got 12 of them at home. I don't need your kids too. I don't care how cute your kids are. I got my own kids. I got my hands full. That's how it is with our screenwriting. And that's how it is with other writers. Other writers are not going to try to steal your work. Now, producers, as I said before, I just have this thing. It's so much easier for them to buy your screenplay, and particularly if you're starting out. If they read it and they really thought the execution of that is not that great, but I do love the concept, and I think that could make a great film. It's really so much easier for them to buy it off you and not have the risk of being sued than to pay somebody else to write the script and risk being sued. It just does not make sense. And I don't think it happens very often at all. I think what does happen quite often is people feel like their work has been stolen because something similar appears at some point. But I think that's more down to just the coincidence and the fact that we're all drawing from the same subconscious. We're all drawing from the same collective unconscious for ideas, and that two people have had the same idea at the same time. I think it's much more likely to be that than somebody like, I saw this script. I think I'm going to copy it and then I'm going to make it mine and nobody will ever know. I just don't believe it. So I personally think that you should just completely release the fear of people stealing your work. Now, that doesn't mean you don't treat your work as if it matters, because your work does matter and you should always treat it like a very precious thing. It's like your child. You wouldn't leave your child with anyone. You wouldn't just be like, hey, anybody want to be with my child for a few hours? Take my child. Of course you wouldn't. You're very conscious and careful about who gets to be with your child, particularly if you're not going to be there. And the same thing with your script. I very much advocate that you don't give your script willy-nilly to anybody to read. You should be very conscious of who you allow to read your script and when. And it is important because, believe me, if a producer becomes interested in your script, i.e. they want to actually purchase it, they will want to know exactly who has seen it, where it's been, who it's been read by, if there were any reader's notes, if it's been near any of the agencies, all those things. It will be very important for them to know exactly who has read the script. So you always want to keep a record of who you're giving it to and when. Nowadays, it's really pretty simple because most of this will be done by email. So you have a paper trail always of who you sent it to and when. But don't send it to anybody who doesn't need it. Don't ever send your script to somebody who's not asked for it. That's just an absolute given. And I hope everybody knows that. You always, always, always ask before you send the script. And the simple reason for that, again, is imagine you're a producer and you've sent your script to me about the vampires in the burger store. And I happen to be developing a script at that time about vampires at a burger bar. And now you suddenly want to sue me, but I didn't even ask to read your script. I didn't see your script. I didn't look at it. I didn't want anything to do with your script. You sent it to me unsolicited. And that's why people are very, very, very uptight about that. It's not ethical at all to send your script to somebody unless they've asked to see it. So you always want to make sure that the person wants to see it. And then at that point, you send it to them. You have the dates. You have it all clear. You have a paper trail. So if in the crazy situation comes that you do feel they actually stole something, you can have it all charted out. But also this means that when you do get to sell your script, when your producer asks you who has seen this and when, you have everything documented. I sent it to such and such on this date. I sent it to this person on this. And you have to be very honest about that and thorough, because it is an important thing for them to know. So that's really it. The headline here is, after you've got your copyright and after you've done your WGA registration, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it anymore. People are not out there desperately trying to find someone's script to steal. It's just not the way it works. People have their own things they're busy, they're excited about, and they would much rather help you or buy your script than steal it from you. And when you get into that frame of mind and just start to appreciate that, you'll have such a better time on this journey, not stressing, not worrying, not being fearful about it, but really enjoying sending your script out. And being clear, too, that your script matters and that you're not sending it to anybody that you don't have a good feeling about. That's probably the last point about this. Do your research always. If someone is not legitimate, if they don't feel right, if they don't have a good energy, don't send it to them. Trust your instincts. Do your research. Anyone that you're going to send your script to, make sure that you feel that they are a legitimate person. And if they are, honestly, you have nothing to worry about. So I hope this has been helpful. As I said, I get asked about this all the time, and I hope that answers the questions. If there are any questions around this topic, I am happy to answer them. And if you're listening to this later as a podcast, also pop any questions into the Facebook group. I'm happy to answer them. All right, you guys, I'm going to wrap this up now. It's been so lovely to spend some time with you, and take care, and I'll see you soon. Have a great week. One last thing before we go. I hope you know that this year I have been sharing free masterclasses every single month of the year. We sometimes do screenwriting, we sometimes do filmmaking, we sometimes do mindset to succeed. If you want to be part of these, the way to know about them is join the Shoot From The Heart Society, which is a Facebook group. So go to Facebook, do a search for Shoot From The Heart Society, or look in the show notes to this podcast. And join us and you will learn about them. Last month, we did one on filmmaking. It was The Secrets of Filmmaking Success. And it was so epic and so amazing. And so many people just wrote to say this inspired them, informed them, empowered them, made them feel like $1 million and like they could take over the world. So I decided to gift them to the community, the Shoot From The Heart Society community. They are in there still. Normally, I only allow access to them for a week and then I repackage them and sell them. But this time I have offered them to the community for the rest of the year. So if you want to check those out, join the group, the Shoot From The Heart Society, and I will see you there. There will be a masterclass this month, June. I can't wait to share with you what it's going to be. It's a little surprise. So stay tuned and I will drop a podcast next week with the information on that. I love you. Take care. I'm so grateful that you're here. I hope you're doing amazing. See you next week. Bye.